You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com, the companion site to the podcast, with all new content every day for you to read while you're at work trying to kill some time. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Tuesday, a game day for the New Orleans Pelicans as they travel to the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., to take on the Wizards in what should be a pretty fun matchup. First time these two teams have played so far this year, and I'm going to talk about this game and preview it for you guys in the third segment coming up here in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. But before that, we got to talk about some pressing issues with this team. And we talked about some of the good ones yesterday, and that was the three-point shooting, but that kind of led and tied into something, and that's been the bad defense we've seen from this team, along with them blowing leads late in fourth quarters. It's been, you know, about three or four games where that's really happened more, you know, just in almost this month. So we're going to talk about the defense, what's been going on there, why is certain things happening, and then talk about kind of the transition to that, the turnovers on offense, the other bad thing that's really been a thorn in the Pelicans' side so far this year. So those will be the first two segments, followed by the preview of the game. We're going to just jump right into everything in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So the defense, and look, we know this has been bad, but when you really look at some of the numbers, it gets fairly concerning, and there's really no other way to really put it. You know, this Pelicans team, offensively, we know they've been very good so far this year, but it's when you look on the other side of the ball is where they really struggle. And a couple of things jump out, but let's look at the general numbers of this team first. Defensively, they rank, 26th out of 30 with a defensive efficiency of 107.8, according to the NBA.com/stats site. So already we're in a bit of a hole here, and they're not doing certain things that they need to do. And the other number that's going to jump out at you is they're not a great defensive rebounding team. In that aspect, they rank 17th, so middle of the pack. And for having guys like Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, throwing out Dante Cunningham, Rajon Rondo, who's a good rebounder, Drew Holiday, who's a little bit taller, they probably need to be better that way. And when you look at the opponent offensive rebounds, that game against Philly particularly sticks out. But so does the Denver game from the other night where they came back late in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that had to do with certain offensive rebounds being grabbed. I believe there were four in the fourth quarter, which really gave the Denver Nuggets a bunch of second chance points. And I think with these rebounds coming late in games, it has to do with something I talked about yesterday, which is the Pelicans have been playing an eight-man rotation now for a little bit, more or less, maybe nine on occasion where someone gets 2 or 3 minutes there. Still better than eight, of course. But the big birds in Davis and Cousins are tired late in the fourth, and you don't get the maximum amount of energy and effort from them, leading to kind of being lackadaisical on the defensive glass. And I think that's where this team's kind of getting hurt. They do get stops, but they don't do a good job of closing out the possessions and letting opponents get right back in there. You're doing the majority of the work of forcing a miss, trying to get a rebounding chance, but you don't do a good job of securing it, leading to second chance points. So you kind of shoot yourself in the foot that way. Another big issue when it comes to the defense, and this is going to be no surprise to anyone whatsoever, is going to be opponents and three-point shooting and defending that three-point line. On the season so far, the Pelicans rank 26, again, out of 30 when it comes to opponent three-point makes. They're giving up, on average, 11.6 per game. Opponents are also taking an exceptionally high number of threes against the Pelicans. They rank 27th out of 30 in that category with 31.4 deep attempts against them per game. It's showing you they're not defending the three-point line as well as they could, and teams feel comfortable shooting because they think these shots are going to be open. And the numbers in the opponent three-point shooting percentage back this up. The Pelicans are a little bit better in this regard, ranking 21st out of 30, but they're giving up 37.1% from deep. You know, if it jumps up 1% more, it puts them at 28th worst. So it shows you they're not defending the three-point line particularly well. Part of this has to do with the teams they've played a little bit, and that's going to skew these numbers. Houston, in that game, took a lot of threes, and they made a bunch of threes, though I thought the Pelicans did a good job defending that. They've played the Warriors a number of times. That team shoots a lot of threes and is going to kind of make it rain from there as well. So part of it does have to do with who they've played, and once the season plays out, they might not kind of rank this bad in it. So I think part of it is due to the schedule. But the other aspect of it really is that a lot of these guys on this team aren't comfortable defending out on the three-point line, particularly the bigs, and it's kind of as simple as that. When you've got these two big birds in Davis and Cousins, they want to defend down low. That's what they do, but teams have learned they're not very comfortable chasing perimeter players around on the three-point line, and if you get an opposing big who can shoot threes, it compounds that, meaning that one of those two guys is going to have to get out of the paint and try and defend that, and bigs just don't normally really know how to close out. It zaps their energy to kind of be chasing guys through screens on the perimeter when they think they're going to drive, so they tend to leave guys more wide open for three-pointers than they would if it was, you know, a wing player. And this is also due to a lack of Solomon Hill. There's less switching going on now. So they're not switching onto a power forward. They're trying to stay there. It just kind of messes up the whole defense with that lack, with the switching not working as well or being used as often. There's a lot of miscommunication. You've got to call out whether you're switching or not switching. And guys still kind of buy into the scheme of wanting to switch. They start to switch. So you see kind of double teams on the roll man and leave the perimeter guy open in a pick and roll type of situation, the ball handler. So leading to a lot of open three-point shots that way. That's part of it. Other thing is it's just laziness. And we've seen basketball IQ, while better than it has been in years past, still not entirely there. And guys do get kind of lost on the perimeter a little bit. And that's been one of the problems with defending that three-point line. By the way, don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We've got a great article up there right now from John Nathan Raby talking about Etuan Moore, looking at his game, how he's getting open, what he's been doing. And the really interesting thing is you got to see how well this dude is shooting and playing right now for your team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Go give it a look. I'm not going to spoil the numbers here for you, but the shooting percentages and where he ranks in the league, quite eye-opening. Check it out over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So turnovers and the defense do kind of go hand-in-hand together, and I want to kind of put them into one segment a little bit here. The turnovers have been a problem all year. We've seen that. The defense more recently, and they kind of compound on each other. And when I brought it up a little bit the other night, and part of it is you get guys in the corners right now. The Pelicans, as I said on yesterday's podcast, take a high number of threes from the corners. So you've got guys in the corners, and then when a turnover happens, here we go, there's no way for this team to get back in transition and play defense that way. And this is compounded by the fact that DeMarcus Cousins leads the league in turnovers right now, and a lot of his turnovers come before getting the ball down low and into the paint. It's either on his drive, he gets kind of the ball knocked away, or gets his pocket picked, what have you. Or if it's an offensive foul and teams can inbound and try and get that going. By the way, offensive fouls are turnovers, and DeMarcus Cousins leads the league in offensive fouls, though I have an incomplete data set. Right now I've got him at like 27 offensive fouls, which I think leads the league overall. It's a good number of turnovers right there, which again, I don't really like the points off turnover stat because you were going to have to play defense anyway. So you still got to get back there and do it. And it's not, you know, a zero sum type of thing. However, it is kind of telling that, you know, teams do punish the Pelicans. And when you don't have a good defense, it's not just transition that's going to kill you, because I think it's indicative of a larger number. And thus it leads to fast breaks for the opponent. And on the season so far, the Pelicans are giving up 14.2 fast break points per game to their opponents. That's second worst in the league, basically tied for worst in the league, along with the Dallas Mavericks. So not what you want to see. And those, you know, turnovers are putting extra pressure. Now, again, you've got to play defense. Maybe after turnovers, New Orleans would give up 14.2 points per game or what have you. But when it's fast break points, we know they have a man advantage. So we got an idea of what's going on with the defense there. I think that's a more telling stat than the points off turnover stat is. Interesting to note, though, when it comes to turnovers, which were a problem earlier in the year, They are getting better. So yes, DeMarcus Cousins is the main culprit of it right now, but it wasn't always the case. It was him and Drew Holiday. But then you look at the on-off numbers for Rondo with Holiday. So Holiday on the court with Rondo on and with Rondo off. And I'm just pulling the total numbers here. So that we're 30 games in, and where is it? Holiday's played 727 minutes without Rondo. And that includes the time that he's been back too, when he just hasn't been on the court. Holiday during that time has 66 turnovers. When they share the court together, 384 minutes. So basically, let's make it easy. Half of the amount of time that he's played without Rondo, he has just 16. If you're going to keep it with the efficiency, he should have around 33 turnovers in that time. But he has less than half of that, so it's about a quarter of the turnovers. So Rondo's influence on Holiday has significantly helped his efficiency, the turnovers right there. He hasn't done the full-on job of locking him in every game with the two bigs, as I've gone over. But the turnover numbers are getting a little bit better. The problem is these turnovers are coming at terrible, terrible times. You see this team get very tired late in games. I really think it has to do with this 8-man rotation and the weird rotations that, you know, Alvin Gentry has been doing so far. And it's basically killing this team because they're exhausted in the fourth quarter, and it's leading to these collapses because they're turning the ball over, because they're not being smart, what have you. And they don't really have a guy who can go out and get a crunch time, clutch time basket for you. You know, we saw what happened when Drew Holiday tried to do it. DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, while great players and you trust them to get the score, usually need someone to get them the ball. That's the problem right there. You know, while we have a lot of assists on this team in different numbers, it's not exactly like this team is the best at entry passes to these bigs and different things like that. So the turnovers come mainly right now from DeMarcus Cousins, and when he's trying to make something happen late in a game, it's compounding on itself because he turns the ball over. And we've seen the fast break numbers. We can just see it with our eyes. It doesn't really require looking at the data to kind of back it up. You just know what's going on here. But I do think there is some light at the end of the tunnel, and that they're going to get better at this. As, you know, Drew Holiday seems to be having much more confidence, it takes some of the burden to create away from DeMarcus Cousins. Right now, that's probably a good thing, because consecutive games or multiple games with 9 turnovers is in this stretch where the Pelicans are really hurting from that. Don't forget, check out the Locked On NBA podcast. The NBA has got a lot going on always. The association has a lot going on. But you got Isaiah Thomas returning soon from injury. You've got Toronto kind of rolling. There's different things going on. Kobe's getting his jersey retired last night. That was a lot of fun. So make sure you tune into the Locked On NBA podcast just to get some perspective on what's going on around the NBA as a whole. So it is a game day for your New Orleans Pelicans tonight as they travel to Washington, D.C. to take on the Washington Wizards. The first time these two teams have met so far this year. And unfortunately, it's almost coming at a bad time for the Pelicans, as they're kind of in this little bit of a funk, kind of, I guess, is what you could say, even though, again, they're 500. While the Washington Wizards are 16-14, but have been without John Wall for a stretch, but he's back healthy playing for the Washington Wizards now, which certainly hurts the Pelicans, because two guys you got to worry about on the perimeter along with him and Bradley Beal. Beal, who's playing outstanding so far this year, averaging 23.7 points per game, 3.5 assists, 4.2 rebounds, shooting 35.4% from three on 6.4 attempts per game. So that guy can get hot. He's also on my fantasy team, but hey, I'll take one for the Pelicans, and let's get him shot down. We just talked about how defending the three-point line is really important, and this Wizards team, while not taking a ton of three-point attempts and not being great at them, still has a guy in Beal who can get really hot from that area, and you've got to always have someone on. You can't sag off. It's something you need to be conscious of, that court gravity is a very real thing and can screw up defenses. This Wizards team is kind of like weirdly efficient, but not amazingly efficient. 12th ranked offense, 10th ranked defense. Their defense does a few things particularly well, and that's clamp down on the perimeter. Pelicans have hit a number of threes. They've got guys going in Etuan Moore. Drew Holiday's found his stroke recently. Rondo hits like one or two a game, if that. And then you've got Darius Miller, who's been fire off the bench. But this Washington team, Basically, though they give up a good number of attempts per game, they close out on the perimeter incredibly, incredibly well. They actually are first when it comes to opponent three-point percentage, giving up just basically 34% per game. So the Pelicans, if they do see an open look on the perimeter, need to be quick to take it. You got to have that release ready to go. Because the freak athletes on this team, I mean, John Wall is lightning fast. Gortat's surprisingly athletic. Bradley Beal's great. The guy that really might be hurting them right now, though, being out, potentially out, is going to be Otto Porter Jr., who's been playing well for him so far this year. Again, basically starting small forward. He's averaging 14.6 points per game, but can contest shots with his size and length. They've also got a backup who's also pretty good in Kelly Oubre Jr., who's been out there getting significant minutes for him. So they've got a bit of a two-headed monster there with those guys. So hopefully Porter's going to be out. That would certainly be a good thing. And you also might get to see the return of former Pelican Tim Frazier, who, if you remember, was traded to the Washington Wizards this offseason. They've also got former Hornet Jason Smith, who was a big fan favorite here, though he's only playing about 11 minutes per game. You know, I'm not really sure what to expect tonight. This is kind of like I said, a weirdly efficient Washington team who hadn't done so hot without Wall, but now he's back and you got to wonder if they can do this. They're decent at offensive rebounding, something we talked about the Pelicans need to keep an eye on. Gortat can beat you there, and you don't want to get beaten by Marcin Gortat. So we'll see how this goes. Again, quick, this might come down to three-point shooting. Can the Pelicans hold Beal from getting hot? Can they hit their own threes because they need to get that extra offense from the three-point line to space the court for the bigs? Washington, again, defensively, they rank in the top 10. They force a lot of mid-range shots. You know, they don't really give up a lot. They're middle of the pack when it comes to in the restricted area. They're middle of the pack in the paint. They're going to force you to take a lot of mid-range shots, which this Pelicans team tries to avoid doing. So it's kind of strength versus strength. We're going to see which comes out on top, which is going to mean it's going to be an interesting game. So I'm going to have a lot of fun watching this one here on a Tuesday night. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from, and please leave it a 5-star rating. It takes just a second. It is very important. And don't forget to follow it on social media. Just search Locked On Pels on Facebook and follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels as well. We do mailbags, different things like that. I'm going to give the writer team over at LockedOnPelicans.com access to both of those too, and let them just run wild with it and have some fun. So you want to make sure you're following it everywhere so that you don't miss out on anything. So I will be back. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. There we go. I should probably tell you guys my name in case you don't know. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.